Hey, welcome everyone to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey from the beginning of the GoBots, or more appropriately, the challenge of the GoBots. No, you're not wrong. I've decided to take Starscream and replace them with Vitor.
Haha.
Predaking? No more. Now, Monstrous. You know, I had to admit to myself eventually that the GoBots are just better made. They're more metal. They have a better long-lasting impact to me. And I'm here to say it finally. I'm coming clean. I'm admitting my bias. And I couldn't do this in front of Ed, so I'm glad Boo's here with me to deal with this circle of trust.
To mock you. No, I loved GoBots. Like, as soon as they came out, like, I saw GoBots before I saw Transformers, which everyone did.
Yeah.
Because they came out first. But, they were great toys, especially the way they, they scaled with Hot Wheels sets.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
So, yeah. And, like, everybody from our generation, all boys, and I'm sure a lot of girls, had Hot Wheels sets and cars. So, you had automatic like environments to play with them in.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
all the Hot Wheels tracks, the Matchbox sets, and all that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it was perfect. They had ready made stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, little background on the GoBots for those that may not know what GoBots are. GoBots were pretty much the main competitor for Transformers in the 80s, and they started out as Bandai's Machine Robo, which was a die-cast robot toy that turned into vehicles toy line. And they were competing with Diaclone and Microchange. So it's like this rivalry went before America. This existed in Japan ahead of time. But the way it got started was Pat Feeley, who was a former Mattel employee who'd worked on Masters of the Universe, was brought over to Tonka. Tonka sniped him because they wanted to revitalize their brands. You know, they always did like big metal, like construction trucks and, you know, earth movers, stuff like that, construction vehicles. And they wanted to branch out into new types of toys. And so he suggested that licensing toys from another company would, you know, help expedite, you know, that transition rather than trying to engineer something on its own. So he got a tip that Knickerbocker, another toy company, was going out of business. So he got to go dig through their inventory for ideas. Oh, yeah. That one actually plays an important part. Because as he dug through their inventory, he found a toy car that turned into a robot that he was told came from Japan. So he went to searching for Japanese toy companies that made toy cars that turned into robots. And the one he found at Knickerbocker, he didn't care for too much because it was mainly plastic. And they wanted to go for more die-cast, like Tonka was known for doing very durable die-cast toys. So he found Bandai's Machine Robo. So they struck a deal with Tonka to license the Machine Robo toys and sell them in the U.S., and the Tonka team, who had no experience with action figures or their lore, rebranded the toys GoBots. Now, they almost called them Transformers, but the name was rejected as too complicated. They wanted something short and sweet that kids could really get into. Mm-hmm. And they liked how well the GoBots rolled, because their wheels are great. Those things they'll go if you roll them. Yeah. And well, that's a 40-year-old toy, and it still rolls like it's brand new.
It does, actually.
Yeah.
It rolls like an old Matchbox car.
So that's why they
the size
branded
of a Matchbox car.
Yeah. I mean, you can put them alongside them. You mix them up, you'll have a hard time figuring out which ones are GoBots and which ones aren't.
So this actually kind of plays on what you're saying. Like, here's Windcharger.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Tux. This one fits on track. This is not because it's too wide.
Right. So they missed out on the Transformers name. They liked GoBots to tell you what they could do. They could go. They wanted to go with that speed feeling, okay? But on top of that, as you were just holding Windcharger there, the cars that turned into robots that were in the Knickerbocker inventory were most likely Mysterians.
Yep.
which were engineered by Takara, which became the Transformers, Windcharger, Brawn, Huffer, and Gears. So Tonka was twice a hair's breadth away from licensing Transformers. Like they were just right there. So around the same time, Hasbro was working on licensing the Takara toys for Microchange and Diaclone that Tonka had missed out on. So there was a huge race to beat each other to the market because they found out that they were both like planning the same thing simultaneously. So Tonka, went with the tried and true animation studio, Hanna-Barbera, to animate their cartoon, and they rushed their toys on the shelves. And thanks to delays that Hasbro ran into with safety standards, they beat Transformers to the stores by 6 months. So that was a huge advantage to GoBots, and that's why we all saw GoBots like, well, as a kid, it was a year before. Really, it was just 6 months, but that was a big deal.
Yeah,
So
there was a race then because it was like during the when toys were you got the what I'm trying to think of a good word deregulation.
right, it was when Reagan deregulated the advertising for toys to children. So like with Masters of the Universe had their cartoon come out in 1983 where they could advertise their toys, then Hasbro, which had already been doing G.I. Joe comics, started working on G.I. Joe cartoon. They started working on Transformers cartoon, and Tonka was working on the GoBots cartoon, where Hasbro went with Marvel Entertainment, which was tied to the Marvel comics that they'd already been using to advertise their toys. Like I said, Tonka went with Hanna-Barbera, which at the time was like a major animation studio in America.
Oh,
They'd done
yeah.
the Super Friends cartoons, Scooby-Doo, the Flintstones. I mean, if it wasn't Warner Brothers or Disney, it was Hanna-Barbera.
Yep.
Yeah,
Very,
Smurfs.
very. Well
Yeah.
accomplished animation studio.
Yeah. And so they got their cartoon pilot, the GoBots, out on September 8th, 1984, beating the Transformers premiere by 9 days. I mean, it was close. And it was actually animated by Wang Film Productions, which was Hanna-Barbera's Taiwanese studio for actually animating stuff. And they were well known. I mean, they did a lot of stuff that, like, let's see, Captain Caveman, Laugh Olympics. Remember the 70s Godzilla cartoon? Yeah. Super Friends. Let's see, Shirt Tales, Smurfs, Pac-Man. Yeah. Yeah. Several of the Super Friends iterations. Let's see, Jetsons. That's just the stuff they did for Hanna-Barbera. Okay. They did stuff for Disney. They did the Chippendale Rescue Rangers. They did DuckTales, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, Gargoyles. Yeah. So they didn't just do the Hanna-Barbera style. They could tailor their style to the studio. Yes. And then Phineas and Ferb, like they're still doing Phineas and Ferb. They did for Warner Brothers, they did Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, Tasmania, Pinky and the Brain. Yeah, Ozzie and Drix. For Deke, they did Inspector Gadget, Heathcliff. Yeah, New Adventures of Beanie and Cecil. They did Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters. Let's see, the Ewoks cartoon. Yeah, Beetlejuice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
That's
Eek the
fun.
Cat. Man, I mean, this goes on. They did Thundercats. They did stuff for
Oh,
Thundercats. So that shows you, like, they could.
they can,
Yeah.
it was very good because Thundercats had that Rankin Bass style, so that's really,
Right. These guys had range. They did stuff for Ninja Turtles, Bobby's World. I mean, it looks like they did everything but Filmation and Toei stuff.
Yeah,
But
nice.
they even did stuff for anime studios too.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably
Yeah.
like an outsourcing house to help them finish things up.
Right. So yeah, they've just done a lot of work. So I mean, it was a safe bet for Tonka, who had never ventured into action figures before. So
It makes a lot of sense for them, especially having a house like Hanna-Barbera, with Tonka and working. Yeah, I mean that makes a lot of sense.
Right. And then yeah, they had some pretty cool ideas going on with their screenwriters. Like they were going for like the mini series started out, it was five episodes. It was a five-parter.
Yeah.
And then they did a 60 episode season to follow it. So it came out to 65 episodes, which was apparently the number they needed to do a daily syndication.
Nice.
Yeah, the 5 day a week thing.
It's funny, I don't even remember it being that many episodes, but I guess it would be. I mean, you gotta competing with all the other shows out there. I mean, that's a pretty good run for a cartoon, no matter what, anyways.
Oh yeah, and like the voice direction was carried out by Gordon Hunt and his protege Andrea Romano, which you may know that name from like pretty much everything Warner Brothers in the 90s,
That's,
Animaniacs,
yeah,
Tiny Toons,
I
Batman the
definitely remember.
Animated Series. You saw
Yep.
Andrea Romano on all that stuff.
That's why I've never seen the name somewhere. That actually makes a lot of sense. And we
Yeah.
were talking earlier, there's a lot of voices that bleed over from Transformers and everything else, honestly,
Oh
but.
yeah. Well, and they had it was overseen by Alan Burnett, Jeff Segal, and Tom Ruger.
What a temper.
But they also brought in Kelly Ward as associate story editor,
Okay.
which he's a veteran from Grease, the
Yep.
movie. Yeah, and he also did the voice of Fytor, but he was kind of in a, I guess, the doldrums right there for his acting work. So he actually helped do their story editing on here.
Nice. Okay, that's why you were telling me that he was in this and I couldn't figure out where he was. I was looking for actor and trying to see where he was in all this. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, he did Fytor, and in this first episode, he does Bogeyman's voice. Yeah, so there was a lot of like they got a lot done in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, the
And
animation's really clean and nice for rushing
it's
out of fast.
very consistent.
Yeah.
And like you've seen with Transformers how, you'll have some episodes that are amazing and then some are kind of eh. And you never know what you're going to get episode to episode. But with this studio, I mean, the GoBots animation is very consistent.
Yeah, it looks it.
Yeah.
And what's our go ahead?
Oh, that was it.
Oh,
That's
well,
my background.
I was. Yeah, and this is stuff. It's the running joke amongst the Transformers community that these are like the Kmart of Transformers. But really, I mean, they were easier. They're cheaper to get a hold of. You can get them in like any kind of store. So, I guess maybe that's why they got their reputation. And a
A
lot of
lot of
the.
that started like on the playgrounds,
Oh
and because
yeah.
Transformers were bigger for the most
Yeah.
part until you got the Super GoBots, and the Transformers were more detailed overall. I mean, GoBots had more simpler conversions.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was that. And I mean,
But
story-wise, Transformers seemed to have the better cartoon.
once again, it's kind of inconsistent. I mean, as long as you can have some great stories,
Yeah.
and you got some really bad ones.
Right. So, I mean, they were kind of all over the place, and people tend to, remember the best ones
Yeah.
and forget stuff like City of Steel and
Yeah.
all that.
Never
Whereas,
forget City of Steel.
yeah, like I said, GoBots writing and all that was pretty consistent. In fact, a lot of the GoBots, I guess, scripts were also carried over to Transformers and rewritten for Transformers. It had a few stories about that from guests on the show.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
And there's a lot more to the background here. This was just a light overview of, the rivalry that started.
there's a what is that show? Is it like the toys that made us?
There's that, and there's also the Toys That Built America.
That's the one I'm thinking of, where they really go into it deep,
Yeah.
how it
They
all
focused
happened.
more on the Tonka side of
Yeah.
things.
Which is kind of neat because you don't really see that side. It's almost like the history or the stories written by the victor. And there's a whole thing with Transformers and GoBots that go into the 90s where the GoBots officially became part of the Transformers universe.
Right, because Tonka was eventually bought out by Hasbro, so they
Yep.
folded the Tonka developed side of the IP, the characters and stuff, the names, into Transformers.
So,
Now, what they run into though is the toys though are still owned by Bandai.
yeah.
So that's why we haven't gotten too many GoBots characters. You know, we've had names reused.
Yeah, Leader
But I
One.
think the first one we had that was really, really close to the machine robo model is Crasher from the Velocitron subline that we had what, a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, depends on when you can actually get a hold of her. But
Right.
yeah. So yeah, I mean there's a lot of that. There's the Takara did a pack of mini bots colored like colored like our original GoBots.
Well, they were
Some.
actually recolors of prototypes of the mini
Oh,
bots.
that's right.
They gave them the names of
That's right.
GoBots. Yeah.
And then like you've had some things that have come out during the I guess the Chug line. Your the specials Hasbro like things that have come out that have names of GoBot characters
Yeah.
and coloring of them too.
And the first time we saw any of the GoBots IP used in Transformers was in Generation 2.
Yep.
Which they actually just named one character GoBots
GoBots.
to lock down the trademark, and then they used some of the names here and there. And I think the first time it was really widespread that we saw it was during Armada,
Oh yeah, 100%.
where even Megatron's Minicon was Leader One.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, that's right. So his was Leader One. What else was there in Armada that I'm trying to think of some right now.
Oh, I'd have to go. There's so many mini cons. They were mainly used on mini cons, though.
Yeah, because I mean that was a tree builder thing, the Minicons.
Yeah.
Which once again, like getting back to the idea of the Minicons you can get like a three pack for the price of like a deluxe figure. So you have
Right.
three little Transformers, which give you more troop building, and you think about you get more bang for your buck for someone who's a little smaller younger person, lots of smaller toys.
Oh yeah, well, and they had these little plug-on gimmicks where they could hook up to and activate different gimmicks on the larger Transformers. So,
And they actually there's still some carryover from that just here and there, but not much.
yeah.
But yeah, they so you have the G2 stuff where they actually had the GoBots lying, which is like their size of Matchbox or Hot Wheels cars.
Right, they were
Life
following that
changing.
same play pattern
Yeah, which that
with.
was great because they were small, they were inexpensive, and you recolor things like they had an Optimus Prime and Megatron. I think Optimus Prime was like a translucent red car, where Megatron was like a translucent gray. What was he? Was he a truck or a car? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was a car.
He was a car that they had an Ironhide, and they had because there was like one pickup truck on those guys. I want
Yeah,
to say,
I want to say it was Ironhide, wasn't it?
I think it was Ironhide. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, of course. Yeah, during the RID 2001 RID. They had the spy changers, which were, the
More
same
recolors of
cars
those.
recolored. Yeah.
And see, those things would zoom too. They had,
Oh, dude, they
yeah, they
haul.
had
I'm
great
trying to.
wheels on them.
I guess I have any in this room right now. So yeah, but they would haul. So those are a fantastic thing where you can take all those tracks and just use your Transformers or your Hot Wheels or Matchbox. So once again, yeah, you get like the playability, which it was really just a neat idea. And you think about original Hot Wheels cars. Hot Wheels always had die-cast metal in the bottom, at least, and sometimes they have them over the body too. So they kind of weighed the same too.
Oh yeah.
So that was kind of neat.
And then in the early 2000s they also had another line called GoBots or Go-Go-GoBots,
Oh,
which was
I
like a
remember.
play school line for like toddlers
That's
and stuff, but they were
yeah.
Transformers, yeah.
I remember that now.
Wasn't was Rescue Roy, was he part of that? I don't.
One, two, three Transformers or the Go. Actually, the Rescue Roy, I think, was the original part, like the GoBots things. I'm trying to remember what exactly they were called when they first came out. Do you remember the? Oh gosh, they had the these like play school Transformers, My First Transformers.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of the predecessor to those. Then you
Yes.
have something like the Go Go GoBots. That's
And
kind of
those
neat
all
too.
led into rescue bots, which we still
Yes.
have around, so.
It's kind of amazing the Rescue Bots has lasted that long. It's one of the longest running shows and
Oh yeah.
storylines.
And I mean, it's like the longest lasting part of the alignment or aligned continuity.
Yeah.
So
But anyways, yeah, let's get into this episode. This is the first episode of Challenge of the GoBots.
pilot.
The pilot. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
yes, I'm sorry, the pilot.
No, I was just being fancy.
I know you are very fancy. I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but first of all, the thing that cracks me up, I always thought of this whenever I saw it, they have the Apple Core planet.
Yeah.
Gobatron has that cylinder in the middle, the cylinder, God, the sphere in the middle, and it looks like the rest of it's like an eaten away apple core.
Yeah. Oh, well, and what it is, it's actually the opposite. They're building a new shell around it.
Okay.
It's almost like a Dyson sphere around the old planet. So the core that you see there, that's old Gobatron.
Okay. So that
Yeah,
makes more
you'll find
sense.
out that later in the series, though, so
Yeah,
spoiler
this is going to
alert.
be kind of fun because I haven't watched this in probably 35, 36 years at
They
all.
get pretty deep into their lore in
Yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
series.
You're
Yeah.
mentioning some of that to me, so I can't wait to then, like, discover that, a lot of that too.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil any more of that, but
Well,
yeah, there's
so
some good
yeah,
stuff.
first like thing we find out is Gobatron is in like an arm of the Milky Way. There's none of this like where Cybertron is just out there somewhere, just floating around rogue planet. No, this is Gobatron's actually in a system in the Milky Way in one of the like one of the spiral arms. So, and they know about Earth.
Yeah, I mean, well, it makes sense. They all have Earth modes already.
Yeah.
So they've already been influenced by our design.
Yeah. And
Which,
man.
I mean, that's a good shortcut. In Transformers, we had Cybertronian designs that we're only just now getting in some of the
Yeah,
toys,
true. That's
like
very
40
true.
years later. But they just said, forget it. Just go with the toys as they are.
Yeah. We're not going to try to gild the lily. We're just going to make it work.
Yeah.
And yeah, so first of all, Turbo is definitely the Ironhide of the Guardians.
Oh yeah.
100%.
And kind of in the opposite of Transformers, where the Autobots kind of were the underdogs. And this one, the Renegades are the underdogs.
Yeah, the Guardians are the Guardians of Gobatron. They are the main people who take care of the planet and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, and the Renegades are literally the Renegades.
It reminds me of a lot of I guess the preamble in the Richard Donner Superman. Where you have like the Kryptonian councils in charge of Krypton, and you've got your three bad guys, and look, you've got, your evil mastermind Zod, his big brute that doesn't talk a lot, and then he's got, a psychotic female,
Crasher.
right? And then you've got, where it's Zod and Non and Ursa, you've got Psykill, Copter, and Crasher.
Yeah.
So.
And I was kind of like reminded watching this that like that Copter is yeah, he's like the thug. He was like a scary guy with the propeller sword, thing. So I kind of forget. By the way, I gotta say the voice acting in this is really good. Like I'm
Yeah.
enjoying Cycle's voice acting a lot.
Oh, that's like your classic like baritone villain
It
voice.
is. And he plays it perfectly.
He's good.
Yeah, he's real good.
Yeah.
And yeah, the so yeah, that's one thing I had to say. Like I read this, like, man, the animation is really good. The voice acting is really good. I
Yeah,
think
that's Bernard Erhard.
I remember I looked at the voices earlier. Oh, and also, for those who are into any Star Trek, there were more than a couple of Star Trek names
Yeah,
in.
there's some Star Trek alumni on here.
Yeah, and I mean, we of course Michael Bell, who was in Next Generation and DS9, and of course was a Swoop and Prowl and several other characters in Transformers. He plays, who's he play? I think he may play a character later on,
Yeah,
but
he
he,
plays a character later on. He's not in this one yet.
yeah. But you also
But
have,
there's. Yeah, there's a lot of crossover from Transformers
oh yeah, tons.
voice actors. Yeah.
A lot of them come in a lot later, but yeah, they're, well, one of the main characters of the show is someone we should know very much from Transformers, Frank Welker. as
Yes.
Scooter. And it's the funniest thing because Frank Welker either does animal sounds, really, I don't know, nasally annoying sounds, or Megatron.
Well, and then he's got those everyman voices too, like he
He
does
does.
with like Mirage and so he's probably, he's got the most range of probably any voice actor ever.
It's funny, whenever you hear Peter Cullen do a voice somewhere, you can always tell it's Peter Cullen.
Yeah, which
But
he's in
Frank
this one as
Welker?
Tank.
Oh, yes, well, he's not in this episode, though. Is he?
I'm trying to think if he's in
No, I
this
don't think
one.
he is.
Yeah, no, he's in the mini series. You'll see him.
Which he was actually my favorite GoBot as a kid.
Yeah,
Those
I had Tank.
TV.
He was on my first. Psykill was the first, like, transforming robot I'd ever gotten as a toy. It was Psykill, and Tank was my second.
The only problem with the tank is he had those like little tank turrets or whatever. They're really thin plastic. The rest of the thing, you could throw that at a burglar's head at 3 a.m. to protect yourself. That thing is a loaded bunch of metal.
Oh yeah, it was just a brick of metal with like some little plastic legs on it. And that's his strength and his weakness, because he was always kind of top heavy when he tried to stand him up.
Once you don't just kind of do like
Yeah, you had to balance him right. But we have Renee Aberjonah. Is that Aberjonah? Yeah, saying that right. It's French.
Of Benson and who played Odo in DS9.
He was also Desaad on the Super Friends.
Really? Huh,
Yeah.
that's kind of neat. I guess
And
he probably did.
he was doing those. He was doing Benson and Super Friends at the same time as this.
Nice.
Yeah, when he played Clayton Endicott.
You're a better man than me for remembering that name.
Oh, he was like my favorite character on there. I actually like watched Benson as a kid, and he was just such a, I guess a rake. He was always the protag or not protag antagonist to Benson's protagonist. Yeah, so he was the jerk. You always need a jerk on the show to make it fun, and he did that well.
He plays a jerk very well.
Yes.
Odo's a jerk.
And we also have as General Newcastle was voiced by Brock Peters, who played Joseph Sisko. Sisko's dad. And he was also Admiral Cartwright
Oh,
in
yeah,
Star
I
Trek
recognize
4 and
that.
6.
Yeah, I definitely recognize his face from Admiral Cartwright. I was looking it up
Yeah.
on the IMDb.
In addition to that, he was the voice of Darth Vader in the Star Wars radio dramas.
Oh, neat.
And he was Lucius Fox on Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But his most famous role is probably as Tom Robinson, who was the defendant in To Kill a Mockingbird with Gregory Peck.
That is definitely him. God,
Yeah.
that guy's been like involved in so many things in my childhood and my adulthood growing up. I mean,
Oh yeah. Well, it had an all-star cast on here.
it did.
Yeah.
I gotta say, man, this is kind of throwing me back and like seeing the voices that are involved in this and the people who are working on the show. They threw a big budget at this, trying to get some
Oh yeah.
big names.
And the backgrounds that were all painted that they used, they look like they're straight out of heavy metal.
They do. Oh,
Yeah.
dude, they do. And the models for the people from the shuttle,
Yeah.
they look very heavy metal, like, they're clean lines, they're bold colors, and when you see heavy metal, you have that kind of that feeling where you have the painted backgrounds like you were talking about, but you also have the animation models stand out from the backgrounds really well. And the same
Right.
thing here.
Yeah, Matt Hunter, AJ Foster, and Rick Burns are their names. That's their characters. And yeah, I mean, it really fits that late 70s, early 80s aesthetic that you had for sci-fi. Yeah, which I you almost expect it to be rotoscoped.
It almost okay. You know, it all it almost kind of it had that possible rotoscope. You can see it being done like that, but also it kind of reminded me of you've seen the Ghostbusters, not the real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters, the Filmation one.
Right.
How much the characters stand out against the backgrounds in that too. They are very stark. The show's goofy as all get out, but the animation is not bad at all.
Oh yeah, well that was Filmation, they did Masters Universe and Brave Star.
Yeah.
And I believe they did like a Tarzan cartoon also. They used to come on Saturday morning, but the backgrounds are always really great
Yeah.
paintings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, same kind of thing here, and it
And
just is kind
animation's
of.
very smooth.
Oh yeah, there's no jumping. It's all very flowy. It's really nice. So yeah,
Which,
there's. Sorry.
I was saying the way the character models also convert is like they follow the toys. Like you can watch the way they change in the show and know how to play with your toy.
Yeah, easily. There's no losing the trailer through some dimensional pocket somewhere.
Right.
There's only like a couple times when they don't do that is like whenever there's a thing where a crasher is like running and just run, flies to the end, does a little spin. But every other time you're showing exactly how they do it. Even the
Right.
point where Psykill, he his first time he transforms into a motorcycle, he like walks, pulls out a wheel, and just sits down pretty much.
Yeah.
There's no guessing at all.
And some people think that was kind of a detriment to this show compared to Transformers, because Transformers got really fancy and like that jerky mechanical
Yeah.
motion when they would transform, whereas it was more smooth. Like sometimes it's like they'd just kneel down and that they were done, or lay down on their back and roll off with GoBots.
Well, I
So,
mean, yeah, you get or you like see the guy from underneath,
right. Oh
copter
yeah,
you.
they had faces sticking out. Like Psykill usually just looked straight up. He'd just curl his neck up and then he'd look, and Scooter's face was always like right there where the
Yeah.
headlight would be. But and that's the few times they took artistic license. They did take some art, like Psykill's face was different than the toys. The toys just
Yeah.
had a silver face, whereas his is like a gold with like he had the scary like dark side eyes.
He did. That's actually that's I was trying to think way to put it, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, and Fytor, I mean, he looked like if you turned Zartan into a robot,
Yeah, he kind of did.
because he has like
The
the
toy
black
doesn't
around
look
his
like
eyes
that.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The toy has a visor.
yeah.
That's kind of neat. But
So
yeah, so
that's
yeah,
the only
they
time they really took artistic license with their faces. If you look at their faces, they sometimes they would humanize them a little more, give them pupils, and things like
Which
that.
being a reason why that is that way, so that'll come
Yeah, I
later.
think Crasher was a big departure because she just had a visor, like a silver visor, her face with a red visor, no
Yeah.
mouth or anything. And they gave her a domino mask and, a feminine face.
Well, I mean, very, very, oh, very tough mouth in my face.
And I like how her first line is just her cackling like a maniac.
She is. She is crazy. She's I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was like her trademark. You wouldn't even have to see her. You'd hear that laugh, and you're like, "Oh, we know what's coming now."
Yeah. And like they she pulls on her whole like her ability pretty quickly.
Yeah,
So
and she
yeah.
wasn't the stereotypical like female villain. She wasn't like the femme fatale or any of that.
No,
She
at
was actually
all.
muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was.
She showed up, somebody was getting hurt.
Yeah. Well, Turbo in this episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's the Renegades get in their purple and black in spaceship. Like it looks like a giant space shuttle. What was that thing called?
Oh, thruster.
Oh, that was Thruster. Okay. Yeah, they get in the Thruster and go on to Earth because Psykill has made a deal with a certain human.
Yeah, he's got a human contact. So
And
they know about Earth and they've actually made limited contact with humans.
Yeah. And so the, this this the contact on Earth is is basically going to help them get the energy and the resources they need to take over Gobatron. So they're the
Yeah, they're
underdogs.
renegades. They're against the establishment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the good guys are in control and the bad guys are trying to overthrow them.
Yeah, so that's where our story pretty much starts. And yeah, the Guardians get in their mobile command center and blast off towards Earth, following them. And did they realize they're going to Earth at first? I don't think so. They know they're following their they got the trajectory and then they realize where they're
Yeah, I
going.
believe they mentioned they were headed towards Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, they follow them there and
So the GoBots have been watching us.
yeah,
Yeah.
they're the true reptilians.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they get there in like On the way there, there are these guys on the this team on the space shuttle, which, by the way, the space shuttle, it looks like a design for a test space shuttle that I saw one in the 80s. I was really excited about.
It looks like the space plane, concept.
It does actually. That's one of the things. I can't remember what it was actually called, like, I don't know, X1 or something like that, but it's the same kind of style that they use in the G.I. Joe, space station thing with a space shuttle. Same overall design. Yeah, it's like a very almost like a, I guess more of a kind of a kite, rounded off kite shape with wings on it. So yeah, they were flying that around space trying to I guess repair a satellite. But the captain of the whole expedition was just like, oh, we're gonna look at things like, look, there's, what was he saying? That's Australia down there. He was just kind of sightseeing. But
Yeah, they were over the southern hemisphere because they saw Antarctica and Australia.
yeah. And it was like Dr. Braxis, is that his name?
Yeah, Dr. Braxis.
Dr. Braxis was like, you're off course. And what, by the way, that's René Auberjonois doing the
Yeah.
voice of that. It's funny to hear his voice. I'm like, I know that guy's name. I
Mr.
know that guy's
House.
voice. And he was like, yeah, I realized what it was. They go back, they repair the satellite, and the guy Brax is kind of a jerk about it. He's like, well, we're gonna find out if it works before we leave. And
Yeah,
yeah, it
he's
worked.
kind of a jerk scientist. That's his baby up there, that satellite that they're working on, and he doesn't seem to trust them very much. I thought it was kind of funny the way their space helmets look like TVs over their heads.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. Like, they're also different colored lights in their helmets. Like, one had like an orangish red and the other had like a blue.
Yeah, something like
Remember?
that. Or like a magenta and a cyan or something like that,
So
or
yeah, but once again, the animation models in there are fantastic. I mean, they look like they are probably in a short for like a heavy metal.
oh, totally.
Like, they're not proportioned like people are. They're more like almost like, I don't, how's what's the way to put this? Almost reminds me of the old Leiji Matsumoto style animation where they have their longer bodies are skinnier and they have like flared ends on their spacesuits. So
Yeah.
it's kind of neat seeing that. I just like once again, the animation is really good.
Yeah, it was more that stylized like late 70s
Yes.
style.
Oh yeah, exactly. As a Leiji Matsumoto style was that exactly. Galaxy Express 39 and some other classic ones that he worked on. So yeah, I actually have this written down there. What is the name of the Renegade ship? Thruster. So Thruster, they detect something coming and they can't figure out what it is, and they're like, it's some UFO, and they're telling people on the ground, and the people on the ground are like, no, what are you talking about? There's no UFO. And they can't detect it at all because I guess they cloaked Thruster.
Yes, they have a cloaking device.
Yeah, which it's not like a Star Trek one. It's just like they're off of radar. You can still see it though.
Oh, it's the Venture Star concept shuttle is what
Oh, cool.
their ship, the Intrepid, looks like,
Yeah.
which we actually got a version of that in Armada.
We did actually one of the sword, the
The Air Defense Minicons.
air defense minicons that turned into the, what was the name of the sword?
The Star Saber.
Star Saber. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Sonar was his name. So yeah, he turns into kind of the same thing,
He
same
does
type of
actually,
ship.
yeah. And so the thruster bolts through there, destroys the satellite and
They
hits the
just
enemy.
run
And
over him.
he just, yeah, they don't even care. That's, and the thing is the size of like an aircraft carrier. It's huge. And they're in this shuttle and it just,
It barely misses the shuttle.
yeah. It doesn't even, I don't think it so much misses him. It kind of brushes him and that's what knocks him down out of the sky.
Yeah, and it reminds me of that scene from Independence Day where like the mothership is pulling in and like the satellites are slamming into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's just obliterating them. Yeah, that's what this scene reminded me of.
And yeah, they just like, there's no cares given. They just pull in and they land out in, it's like out in the desert somewhere.
Yeah, they have to crash land from it, and they tell them that, it was a UFO that destroyed the satellite, because Braxis is complaining that he's lost the signal from the satellite. And they say it was a UFO about the size of a mountain, and they were surprised that, radar didn't pick it up.
We didn't because they have a cloaking device.
Right. They've got their stealth device, so good
And
luck
of
with that.
course, there's no recordings of the ship doing that because when they crash land the shuttle, they jump out of it because it's going to explode.
Yeah,
So
it's messed up. It's in bad shape.
convenient. Yeah, so
Instead of Transformers crashing to Earth, we got humans crashing to Earth.
it's kind of neat though. I thinking about it, Transformers, whenever we think about them, well, then again, they landed in 4 million years ago, so it wouldn't have been a thing. So, GoBots crashed, or like they landed like modern day, essentially 84, 85.
Yeah.
So yeah,
They were
there's
contemporary aliens.
yeah, exactly. And they show up. I'm trying to remember the course, like the which who showed up first. I think the Renegades
Yeah,
showed up,
renegades show up first.
the humans first. Yeah, well, I know the Guardians come out later. They land, not too far away in the
Yeah.
mobile command center. I'm not now that I watched it a little while ago, and I'm in trouble remembering how which way how the everything kind of presented itself, because I know Crasher, she's having a great time. She's
Oh
having
yeah.
the time of her life. She's like, she goes and sees the humans, and she just slams down and starts doing her little thing across the ground.
Oh,
Blows up,
her shockwave.
yeah, blows up a rock.
Yeah. Yeah, she's chasing AJ around and stuff.
Yeah, and
And
what's that?
well, her voice actress is Marilyn Lightstone, who she was actually in heavy metal. She was one of the ladies of the evening in the Harry Canyon segment.
Harry.
Yeah, exactly. And but she was also Sonya, Heathcliff's girlfriend in Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats cartoon from like 84 to 86.
See, now that we're getting that crossover with Heathcliff again somehow.
Right? So,
Yeah.
yeah, Heathcliff's girlfriend was Crasher.
Oh man, when the Guardians show up, they're trying to help out the humans. First thing Turbo does is kidnaps the woman,
AJ, yeah.
AJ,
Yeah.
throws her in his the cab of his car on his chest.
Yeah, which they have storage for humans in robot mode.
Yep.
You know, there's always kind of a little joke about Transformers. If they would convert into robot mode with somebody in them, it'd squish them. You'd see
Yeah.
the parodies where like blood would shoot out and stuff. And they even did that in like, what was it, some of the Dreamwave comics
They did.
where
I think Robot
like
Chicken
Major
had one
Blood
robot
got
too.
squished by Thundercracker or
Oh
something.
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, first thing that Turbo does is kidnaps AJ.
Yep. He's protecting her
Protecting.
from Crasher. But yeah, and then he transforms with her in him.
Well,
Like yeah.
it's in compartment, yeah.
Yeah. And it switches around though, 'cause she's like she would have been laying down in the car, but it rearranges her so she's seated in the driver's seat.
Which cool. I'm all
Yeah.
for it.
Yeah, it's very cool. And he uses that several times where he just stashes them in his chest.
Stay there.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a fight, and you have Leader One is there with Scooter and well, actually no, it was a Turbo and Leader One escape out of the command center first, and Scooter's like, oh, I should probably help.
Yeah. Well, Scooter's not really, he doesn't have much offensive capability. He's more
No,
defensive
but
and stealth.
he does have holograms.
Holograms. Yes, he definitely
Hologram.
puts that to work. You know, and something else, we've already got like more female characters just in the first episode than we had in the entire first season of
Yeah.
Transformers,
Yeah.
which, you know, Hasbro was worried that boys wouldn't want to buy female characters. That's why they really like shut that down. But Crasher has always been a sought after toy,
Oh, yeah.
and it's because of her character. I mean, yeah, she's a cool car and all that, but just the psychotic like bruiser that she is.
Yeah.
She was a fun character, and everybody wanted Crasher.
Oh, it reminds me of what they did in Beast Machines with what's her name?
Oh, Black Arachnia?
No, not Black Arachnia, the Viacon.
Oh, Stryker, yeah.
Stryker. Which once again, it was the female and the bruiser.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason why I mentioned Black Arachnia is because she had the little ground lightning effect, like Crasher. That was the first thing I thought of. I saw
Oh
her use
yeah.
that.
So already there's it's nicely animated, beautifully animated, voice acted so well. And the story is, I'll say this, it kind of feels very, there's something about it feels very Hanna-Barbera-ish.
Yeah.
but not in a bad way. It's like I picked up on the style. Even when Newcastle, General Newcastle is talking to Braxis, it's this very like, I don't know, it's almost like a guy who doesn't understand what's going on talking to a villain. They don't know who's a villain yet. Because
Right.
as we find out later, Braxis is the contact that Cycles made.
Yeah, he's the traitor.
Yeah. And it was like I think they're on this warehouse, and like Scooter realizes he's going to go get the part to repair Turbo from that fight.
Right, because Turbo got injured protecting AJ.
Yeah,
Because
so
Stikill and Crasher ganged up on him.
yeah. So yeah, they him and the kid, what is his name? The
Oh,
blonde kid.
Nick?
Nick. Yeah,
Nick, yeah.
Nick rides Scooter because they want to make sure they ride the right part.
Well, and he said he can get access to NASA's like their stockpile of parts
Yeah.
because he's an employee. So he actually uses his credentials to get Scooter in.
Man, it was the weirdest thing when he shows up and they get, oh, Nick, so and so.
Yeah, because
Well.
they'd reported that, they'd been attacked by robots and nobody believed them, and they
Yeah.
all got grounded for it.
Yeah.
Like they were
It
all like put on administrative leave because nobody at NASA believes them.
well. Let's be
So
honest, it does seem very unbelievable.
yeah, and how military scuttlebutt is, so the guard at the gate knows, like, oh,
Oh,
Nate,
yeah.
you see any robots? Ha ha
Yeah, it's one of those things where, no one's supposed to know, so everybody knows. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's how that stuff works.
Yeah. And you know who Turbo's voice is, right?
I looked it up. I know who it is. I can't remember who it is in the
It's
movie.
Arthur Burkhart,
Yes.
better known as Devastator.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So
He didn't play Devastator all the time, did he? He was or is he?
most of the time it was him.
Okay. I know there was a changeover at one point.
Oh yeah, well they always had a fill in here and there, but for most of the time it was Arthur
I'm thinking
Burkhart.
Bruticus.
Bruticus. Oh yeah, Bruticus. There was you
Yeah.
talking Minotaur also. I mean everybody had like a switch
Minotaur
off.
had a changer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of cool. So
Yeah, he had that nice baritone. He was good for Devastator and he gives Turbo that tough sound.
he does,
Yeah.
but you also have
But
what they went, they found the part, it was like it looked like a circuit board they had in like a NASA warehouse.
yeah.
That's when they see that there's something going on in this hangar or something
Well,
like
Scooter detects them. He has like he's
that.
Hound. He does
Yeah.
everything Hound does. He's got the highly detected sensors. He's got stealth. He's got holograms.
Hologram, which
Yeah.
is funny because Hound was originally supposed to be the character paired with Spike,
Right.
where you have Nick paired with Scooter. That's actually kind of funny to looking at that, like neat little parallel.
It's funny how the things develop, so in line with each other. And what's funny is the only ones I think that would really know between them would be the voice actors, because
Oh
they were
yeah.
working on both shows.
Oh yeah. There's. They so yeah, you text them and they go onto the they fly onto the roof to look through a skylight, and before you even like as soon as you see a skylight and he's a robot, it's gonna happen.
Oh yeah, he falls through it.
Yeah.
And he forgets he can fly because all the GoBots can fly.
Yep.
All
Yep.
of them. There's
Which.
none of that Autobots can't fly, but Decepticons can, or that. It's like, no, all GoBots can fly, and they all have like energy beams they shoot out of their fists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have some of them have special abilities, but yeah, energy beams out of the fist.
Yeah, that's like the
Yeah.
standard issue.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they fall down there and there's Braxis with Cycle, Turbo, and Crasher.
You mean Copter?
Copter.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, not Turbo.
Poor
Yeah.
Turbo. He always gets a bad rap. Yeah,
But yeah, he it's great too because the way Turbo speaks and the way his I guess his speech pattern is. He's almost like if you took Blaster and you took Ironhide and mixed them together. He's
he's
great.
kind of a good halfway point there.
Yeah. But yeah, so
And
the
kind of a little bit of Trailbreaker.
a little bit, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, they had less characters involved in the main part of the show, so yeah, you gotta include a lot of them together.
Yeah, and well, that was another advantage here is they got to develop these six characters the best because they kept the cast down. Now you'd have cameos and people would show up other characters,
Yeah.
but you didn't have like we have two episodes about a hoist and grapple, and then we got an episode about Skyfire, and then we got episode about the Dinobots. They kept these six are your core characters,
Yeah.
and everyone else would kind of make like guest shots or they'd be in a couple episodes here and there, and they kept consistent characters through them, but they were always like guest stars, kind of.
Yeah, actually, the beginning, I forgot to mention this. Hans Cuff was in there, the police car.
Oh yeah, he's like the first guy you see chasing the Renegades.
Yeah, who is it that I said that they're the Renegades are they're stealing something? It was
They
who else?
stole the Astro Beam.
That's right. That's how they're gonna travel to Earth.
Yeah, well, it's like a teleporter. It's
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
like a miniature space bridge.
Yeah, actually, it looks like a little TV on a tripod.
Yeah, and it's Rescue and Hans Cuff are chasing them, and
Rescue. Yeah.
yeah, Rescue, the little ambulance is damaged, so
Yep.
Hans Cuff goes after him.
That's right. Hans Cuff. They
Yeah.
had some very, man.
They had very tongue-in-cheek names.
They did.
And like I said, that comes from the Tonka guys naming them, because
Yeah.
I mean, Transformers had cooler names.
Oh, yeah,
There's
by far.
no real argument about that. But that's because Marvel named them. Bob Budiansky and Denny O'Neil and Jim Shooter put a lot of work into naming these guys. These are lore masters.
Yeah.
And you just have Tonka toy guys that are like, hey, let's name these guys.
Yeah. I mean, by tour.
Well, and you think about it, you've got their background for this comes from Masters of the Universe with Pat Feeley. So
That's true.
you have a lot of names similar to what Web Store and
Yeah.
Fisto. Yeah, stuff like that. Their name is what they do.
Evil Lynn.
Right. I mean, Skeletor, those
Yeah.
names, they're very on the nose, and
Yeah.
GoBots names are like that. And we see those again in Transformers, in Beast Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Cheetor, Tarantulas, Waspinator.
So, what happens if Leader One ever got replaced, would they be like Leader Two?
Right?
That's right on the nose for the leader. What, but yeah, even their head sculpts and how they look. I mean, you remember the Super GoBots version of Leader One,
Yeah.
dead on the cartoon model.
Not
Well,
really though.
the face was different.
Yeah, the face, because he has like a, I don't know, like a, he has a mask, like it's not
Yeah.
got vents where his mouth would be.
But is the rounded head, but the face was different. Yeah.
Yeah, rounded head with the basically it's like a pilot's helmet.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that.
Yeah. And well, the smaller GoBot looks a lot like that too.
Yeah. There was a larger version. It's easier to see in the Super GoBot version of them.
Yeah. And
I really liked. I'm sorry, go ahead.
oh, I was saying the Psykill, they actually improved on it when they made him a Super GoBot, which was a larger, they made Super GoBots, which are larger size toys for those that don't know.
Yeah.
And they were actually comparable in size to like your mainline Transformers.
And they also for they took some Bandai I guess models from what would be considered part of Robotech for the Mos Pietà, the Cyclone became a Psykill, a colored Psykill, so you could do model kits
Oh, the
for
model
that.
kits. Yeah, we're
Yeah, and
definitely,
there
yeah.
and Leader One was an Alpha Fighter.
Yes.
So there was model kits that were done after from Mos Pietà or Robotech Season 3.
Well, and that was part of that mad rush they had where it was like Tonka and Hasbro were licensing everything they could that was a
Yeah.
robot and slapping their brand on it and just trying to outdo each other.
I remember my brother had gotten the Psykill one, and it was pretty good. Like the blades that came out of the Cyclone things. It was Lancer's Cyclone, so it had blades in the fists and stuff. It
Oh yeah.
was a pretty cool little model.
And then the Super GoBot Psykill basically transformed a lot like the smaller toy, but his wheels, which everybody lost the wheels on the original Psykill toy, and the little engine part, they all detached. He was a parts former.
Yeah.
Where this one, it all stayed together. It folded up and went on his back.
Yep.
So they
So
improved on that.
by
In
yeah, by
fact, if
far.
they had just like given him a little more articulation, like in elbows and stuff, it'd been on par with some of the stuff we have now.
Yeah, I remember the was at Ken's Toys. I can't remember the name of the third party. They did the Junkions, the like they're about
Oh
this
yeah,
tall. Oh, they're
KFC, yeah.
they are freaking metal. Also, they are so heavy. They're great though. They've great the great articulation stuff. They did a version of Cykill called them Toe Cutter from the Mad Max.
Mad Max, yeah, the first
Yeah,
Mad Max
but
movie.
yeah, it looks fantastic too. It like his arms, they look almost like Cykill almost has like it looks like they're bendy, his arms,
Yeah.
so they kind of curve a little bit on this figure. That they did a great job on it.
And they left the Junkion spikes on the tires, which looks
They
really
did
good on Psy-Kill. He needs
it.
something to just make him a little meaner, you know?
Yeah,
So.
exactly. But yeah, so I mean, Scooter makes the hologram of a dumpster at
Yeah,
one
they
point.
hide from some of the security guards earlier when they were
Yeah.
getting the part for Turbo. Yeah, that's where you
Yeah.
find out he can use holograms.
So yeah, I mean, this is like kind of a quick, here's the GoBots. They're going to get into something really fast. Wasn't a lot going on this episode, like as far as like backstory, but you kind of know where they're from, how close they are to Earth, what they're after, who the I guess the traitor is already.
Yeah, they're laying out the groundwork for the play pattern.
Yeah, and something they did really well there, that they almost like where Transformers took a little while to get to, like in Dr. Arkaville. They were really good about bringing in like the evil human that they use a lot at Earthspark. They've used a lot in some of the other Transformers shows, but they kind of took, they went right into it with GoBots.
Yeah, you
They've
gotta,
got contact from Earth.
evil mad scientist human that wants to help the bad guys.
Yeah, he wants something out of it too, so.
In fact, there's a lot of parallels people have made between this pilot series, the five-parter, and the Ultimate Doom.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I'd say except the size difference is a little, different on that. But let's be honest, the Ultimate Doom was kind of all over the place too. It was a pretty big, expansive story. And this they just start out with that immediately. They go right into it. There's
Yeah,
no
they dive
hemming and
right into
hawing.
like the, and I think that was that like, Ultimate Doom was the highlight of Transformers first season.
Oh, 100%. It was
Yeah.
like it was a major. It's funny because the way that season one ended, it ended like on a like a kind of a letdown almost. What was the last like season one?
Oh, well, the last intended episode was Heavy Metal War, where they sank into
Yeah,
the lava.
yeah,
But the last one they aired, because they aired out of order, was what, Plague of Insecticons?
yeah. It was just it didn't really feel right.
Yeah.
Heavy Metal War was a much better way to, I think, to end it, but it was tended that way. It doesn't seem like they had the problem with GoBots.
Yeah, and well, I think using that veteran animation studio helps a lot. They're able to plot it out a little more. And then some of the stuff you see, like in the rest of the season, they do the more episodic stories where it's not like a big overreaching arc, but you still have multi-part stories here and there.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on like the Rock Lords, that's towards the end of the series, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what wraps up the series, is the Rock Lords movie, which actually got, much better reviews than the Transformers movie from critics.
Well, Transformers movie did not get good reviews, so that's kind of a low bar you're setting.
Yeah.
So,
Well, some of them even compared the two and said that it wasn't as good as the GoBots Rock Lords movie, which,
Nice.
there's a lot of people nowadays that are adults that would disagree with that, but
Well, sure.
I loved them both.
Well, it'll be fun to watch a Rock Lord movie eventually. So,
Oh yeah, we've got to get to that.
yeah. Well, we're over here trying to like to slow walk all the way to the Transformers 86 movie too. So we'll get there eventually. But this will be a nice little diversion for this week, and we'll get into more of these. And I want to get the first five part out of the way. Get it all.
And this series is just fun.
Yeah, I gotta say, I was having a good time just watching it and. Animated so well, voiced so well. And yeah, I can't really find anything wrong with it.
Yeah, there's not it. It's really gotten a bad rap. The series and the toys have gotten a bad rap over the years because it's better than people remember it to be. And I think a lot of it was just schoolyard, trash talk.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And
Yeah.
it was much better than I remembered it being, so.
It gets better as it goes on. You know, I know I've told you that about Machine Man, but GoBots actually starts
Yeah,
out at a higher bar. Machine Man.
I mean, Machine Man is a pretty low bar to start with, and
And this episode ends on a cliffhanger because, you know, Braxis and the Renegade see Scooter and Nick fall through the skylight, and Psykill orders Copter to get them. And man, Copter pulls out his blades. His rotor's like a samurai sword. And then he just splits up into the rotor and he's like menacing him like he's a food processor coming towards him.
it kind of reminds me of what was the robot from Black Hole,
Oh,
Maximilian,
yeah. Maximilian. Yeah.
spinning blades. Yeah,
Oh,
kind of the same
totally.
concept. Yeah,
Yeah.
really cool
And
though.
or like the old James Bond cliffhangers, you know,
Oh
where
yeah,
he's got like a saw blade coming at him or something like that. Laser at the crotch.
do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. So yeah, all that stuff, it's fantastic. It's very tropey 80s cartoon stories, but in the best way possible.
Oh yeah, it's you know, it's good sci-fi fodder.
It is. And actually, I was thinking of something else it reminds me of. I don't know if you ever saw the show Mighty Orbots.
Oh yeah.
The animation style reminds me a lot of that too.
And well, you know about what happened to Mighty Orbots, right?
I don't know exactly what happened to it.
Tonka sued them into oblivion.
That's right.
Because the GoBots tagline was Mighty Robots, Mighty Vehicles. And they said they were infringing on their trademark because they're Mighty Orbots. All they did is change the R and O's position. So,
And yeah, it was a
yeah,
good
even
show
though they
too.
probably could have fought and, you know, kept it going, you know, maybe changed the name or something, it just killed the whole series.
Yeah, well, that was a series that didn't really make it past what, like a, I don't know, a handful of episodes.
Yeah, it was just a handful of it, but it was because of that lawsuit. Yeah.
It's too bad too. That was actually a
So,
really nicely animated show.
oh yeah, and see, it actually had a lot of the anime styling to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God, especially the opening. God,
oh totally, that opening is great.
it's beautiful.
But yeah, it's funny to see that because you know you had GoBots took out Mighty Orbots, and then eventually Transformers absorbed GoBots. So
How it all comes around in the end.
it is. I mean, it was pretty brutal there in the 80s. The toy scene in the 80s was tough.
Yeah, but with it, looking at, I don't know if you've ever seen the concept toys for the Mighty Orbots, it was okay that they didn't really make it out because they were pretty bad.
Well, it was if they'd gone with the Japanese version that they were basically ripping off, Godmars, that was a solid toy.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. So they could have just recolored that, I think, and
Yeah.
done all right. But they didn't look anything like the characters because the
No.
characters are very stylized in robot mode.
Yep. So I think they tried to do that. It just did not work.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was fun. Definitely, I can't wait to look at more, watch more of these episodes, and get this show under our belt too. So, everyone, we haven't betrayed you. This is still primarily a Transformers podcast, but
GoBots and Transformers are one big family now.
they're like the second cousin once removed. They're there.
They've been adopted
They
and married in.
can come to the family picnics, but no one usually calls them, unless they need something. Yeah. That's the
They're the
rule.
cool cousin that, you know, is off by themselves over there that has all the really funny stories to tell you that your mom and dad don't want you to know about.
Yeah, when your dad was real young, you know what he did? And
Yeah.
your dad's freaking out. Yeah, that's kind of the GoBots. But yeah, anyways,
And
cool.
yeah, if you haven't looked at GoBots or the toys or anything, definitely check them out. They're fun. They're still fun.
And all the super GoBots are great.
Oh yeah.
Psycho is his name?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Psycho.
He was
Yeah, he
one of the
was
ones
the
I always
future
remember.
machine.
Yeah, I always remember that, the Future Machine. I always remember that one so much as a kid. I used to see that one a lot. But yeah, all of them are fantastic.
He really stood out a lot.
He did.
And they went alongside the Diaclone
Yep.
toys pretty well because they were like that same scale of die-cast toys is what they were made to look like.
Yep.
Yeah, and there was always some really good ones there.
The tank one was really nice too.
Oh, Destroyer.
Destroyer.
Yeah, Destroyer. They had another version of Spacey.
That's right, the larger version of Spacey.
Yeah.
That was the one that everyone always seemed to have as a kid, the small version, because it was space shuttles. Space shuttles were very, very popular in the 80s because that was our way into space.
And they did really well with their combiners. Like I said, Puzzler came was like first, and all the
Yeah.
figures were the same size.
Monstrous.
Yeah, and Monstrous is great.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And his name in Japan in Machine Robo cracks me up.
What is it?
It Devil Satan 6.
That's right. Oh my God, I forgot that.
You can tell why they changed the name over here, because that was like in like the throes of the Satanic Panic over
Oh my
here,
God, the Devil
and they're like,
Sixty-Six.
yeah, we can't call him that. Let's just call him
I
Monstrous.
love him even more now. I mean, he does. He looks like a. He looks like okay. The head looks like Web Store, you know, the He-Man figure.
Yeah.
It kind of has like it, but the whole thing, it has like almost like he has ribs on the side there, and like all the creatures are like the two arms have like they have like bat wings, like almost look demonic, which are
Yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
totally went for that. It reminds me of kind of what they developed as into Devilman later.
Oh yeah.
Remember the Devilman series?
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that. I love
Yeah.
that now so much. And they're cool because they actually have this one I don't actually have Puzzler. I'd like to. But like they have like little grasping claws and the
Look at all the metal in that
I
thing.
know. The thing weighs a few pounds. But yeah, the hands they're great. They actually they're the way the hands of the arms work is closer to what they finally did in Power of the Primes or the Combiner Wars,
Yeah.
where the arms actually have like they have elbows, they have kind of wrists, but they have like clawed hands where they can move around a lot more. The feet are bricks. They have toes that'll move up and down and stuff, but the arms are pretty good.
It at that time, especially that much die cast, yeah, you couldn't do a whole lot of posability with the legs
No.
because they were bearing all that weight.
Yeah, they were. He
It
does
always
this.
reminded me kind of Piranacon with all the fins and stuff sticking off of
Kind of
it.
does, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, he does come apart, like, right at the torso where a torso meets the midsection, just
Yeah.
because the weight fits in is really, it's not the best, but he looks great. I don't care. Yeah, they look like I don't know, the robot forms of them look like, you know, lower demons from D&D. So.
Yeah, which they got a lot of, I guess, play in. Was it Machine Robo, The Revenge of Kronos?
Okay.
They did an anime series after Challenge of the Gobots ended, because Machine Robo didn't have a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at the
I thought
time,
they
but then
did.
after Gobots ended, then they did Machine Robo. I believe that's Revenge of Kronos. So I think I'm saying the name right,
Okay.
and it was very well animated, but it was basically like monsters were the bad guys, and all the vehicles were good guys. So
Okay.
the ones you have like Phytor and Screwhead and Psykill
Yeah.
were good guy robots in that series.
Nice. I'll check
Yeah.
it out. Ah, there weren't that. Well, then you had like Vamp, Pincher, and things like that. Those are
Right.
probably the
Yeah,
bad
monster
guys.
GoBots like that.
Yeah. Those are great too.
Yeah, Vamp got to be a super GoBot too. They made a super GoBot version of Vamp,
I
which
forgot
looked
about
just like
that.
the smaller one, but it was just
No.
like upscaled.
And he was, that guy was heavy too. God. Yeah. So, you know, we joke about the fact that the GoBots are the dollar store Transformers, but they're really not. They're pretty stout, I
They came
guess.
in at a lower price point, but you got a lot for them.
Yeah, you really did.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes
And
they were just a couple, like Super GoBots are just a couple bucks cheaper than your mainline
yeah.
Transformers. But like you look at Super GoBot Leader One next to Starscream,
Yeah.
Leader One's bigger and he's heavier. He has more die cast in him.
And he also doesn't have, he's not a parts former either.
I was about to say he's not a parts former.
Which is saying a lot.
Yeah, which that doesn't really bother me because that's always
Yeah.
been part of what's going on. But nowadays, I guess we've become more connoisseurs, so we don't like shell formers and we don't like parts formers and all that. Me, I just like
Don't
robots that
speak
can
for
turn into
me.
stuff, right?
I like that stuff.
Oh yeah, I love the stuff too. I just meant like we as the
Oh, I know.
fandom, you
As a
always
fandom,
see
yeah. We
the.
want it to fit perfectly, and it doesn't always. That's
Yeah,
why
well.
third parties gotten so popular because they're really good about doing that. But there's like a billion panels on an arm, so
Well, that and there's safety laws that are in place to keep, you know, kids from getting hurt or choking on stuff or breakage. And Some of the stuff they do when they convert from one form to another in the show, you just can't do on a scale of a toy and then keep it like in a regular budget because it's sci-fi stuff. They stuff shrinks and grows and
How many years did it take us to get a legitimate version of Ironhide or Ratchet that looked right?
oh yeah,
I
and
mean,
well, and they're still fine-tuning. Like they finally got it right, I think, with Studio Series.
yeah, they've gotten pretty close.
But yeah, what we had with like Earthrise, they still like had their feet hanging out the back.
Oh yeah, I actually have here I've got actually not them, but I've got the version of the Troop Pillar pack.
Oh yeah,
The feet are right here.
that's
Like
the
he
Auto
basically,
Trooper.
yeah,
Yeah.
Auto Trooper. Yeah, you can like sit there, put him down on his feet. Actually, they've kind of missed an opportunity to make a combiner out of that.
Oh yeah, and I mean it always looks like a Star Trek shuttlecraft, kind of
Yeah, it looks like
like
a
the old school ones.
mix between that and like a Snowcat from G.I. Joe.
Oh totally.
So
But yeah,
that's
also with the GoBots, how they drive around with their heads sticking out.
yeah.
Transformers did that eventually in Beast Machines.
Yep. Yeah, for good or ill.
Yeah.
But all right, well, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about this stuff all night. So I'm gonna
I
go.
know. We can go on for hours if we.
We'll just old guys rambling about stuff. So thanks everyone for checking us out, and thanks for staying on this long. And check out the Discord. Give us a like, give us a nice review if you wouldn't mind. And we're gonna keep on doing this. Because this is what's we all need fun in our lives, especially these days. And I think this is what gets me through it. So glad you're here, Boo. And Ed, can't wait to do another show with you, man. Anyways, you
Good
guys have a
times.
great week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
'Muses Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the ExcellentUnderground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the ExcellentUnderground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.